This is The Thirsty Developer, episode number 25, for June 27th, 2008, the one with Joe Stagner. Welcome, everyone, to The Thirsty Developer. I'm Dave Bost.
And I'm Larry Clarkin.
So, Larry, I can see you.
Yes, we're actually recording in person. A lot of people don't know that through the magic of podcasting and recording is most of the time when we do this banter stuff, we're not actually together. We're actually, you know, on the phone, and we each have a microphone local to us, and we splice the two together later. But in this case, we're actually both together in the Microsoft office here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, when we do these banter, you know, it is really, we do too much work, don't we?
Yeah. We make it really hard on ourselves. Yeah.
So hopefully everybody's, you know, satisfied with that. You know, that all the hard work and editing time that it takes to put these shows together.
And as a segue, I know we have one happy listener out there.
One? Only one.
At least one.
Only one. You know what?
Absolutely ecstatic.
Larry, the reason I do this show is so that if we have at least one happy listener, that's all I need for me.
Yeah. You want to know his name?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's Michael Wood. From Kentucky, you know, Western Kentucky, actually lives right outside of Cincinnati. I don't know if you know this, but Cincinnati's right on the border of Kentucky. The Cincinnati airport is actually in Western Kentucky, but
go figure.
Yeah, but Michael Wood, who is one of the founders of the .NET user group down there, the Cincinnati .NET user group at CINNUG.org. He asked us to plug the user group. Is the winner of our Zoom contest.
Great. So yeah. So our second Zune giveaway, this was something that we put together with, through the ZuneOriginals.net website, where you can essentially get laser-etched art on the back of a Zune. So we kind of put something together, a nice little Thirsty Developer message, and Michael won.
Yeah, and we asked for specific feedback on what could Microsoft do better, and we got a variety of different answers, and we're going to internalize a lot of them, you know, communicate a lot out to product groups. One of the most interesting trends that I saw, Dave, was the fact that a lot of people said simplify your licensing. And fortunately,
because we have a lot of control over that.
Yeah, fortunately I have no control over that. We'll definitely pass the, you know, the general feedback alone, but you know, I was, as an evangelist, when I'm talking about the technology and the adoption of the platform and the value that it can give to you, I always tell people there's two things that I will not talk about: pricing and licensing, because I don't understand either one of them.
Yep.
But
right.
But Michael gave us some good feedback, and I'm also going to let everybody know his blog. It's mvwood.com, and we'll put this in the show notes. But congratulations, Michael. The Zune is actually going to be shipped out like today or tomorrow, and thanks for listening to The Thirsty Developer.
And he better watch out, because he's going to get that Thirsty Developer effect, right? Which
oh,
is
yeah.
more powerful than the dig effect or slash dot effect.
Right.
So hopefully he's got the server power to handle all those hits to his blog. So so congratulations, Michael. And we'll try to get some more contests rolling here in the upcoming weeks as well.
Yep.
So this week's episode, who are we going to be talking to?
Joe Stagner, one of my favorite people at Microsoft. Joe's blog is misfitgeek.com. He actually just changed it. He used to be joeon.net.
Joe's a character.
Yeah, Joe is one of the most interesting people at Microsoft. And it was interesting that I caught up with him at the PHP Tech conference in Chicago a few weeks ago. And it was kind of interesting there was three people from Microsoft there, you know, Joe, myself, and then our pal Kerry Dunn. And it's kind of sometimes you feel a little out of place, but you know, the PHP community is very welcoming. They're a great bunch of folks. Joe, Microsoft sponsored the conference, and as a result, Joe gave one of the keynotes and gave it on, you know, open source at Microsoft, which is kind of an interesting, you know, kind of can be contentious topic in some crowds.
Right. So, I mean, I know the PHP community loves Joe. I mean, Joe does a lot of stuff around PHP and PHP running on Windows and everything. So and he's also a character. So should be an interesting interview.
Yep. And it was interesting that so right after, you know, his keynote, I said, you know, hey, Joe, let's get together and do a podcast here. And he said, what do you want to talk about? I said, let's talk about essentially what you talked about during the keynote. So this is kind of me bringing that message to you guys. I got to tell one funny story before we actually go to the interview. That is, do you remember the Balmer egg throwing incident from a few weeks ago?
Yeah, this was like in Belgium or somewhere in Europe.
The Eastern Bloc. I think it was Budapest or Hungary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
That actually happened like the day or two before Joe's keynote. And he had not heard about it yet. And I actually said, you know, Joe, you're the first Microsoft guy I know that's going to go in front of a crowd, post the Balmer egg incident. And we can put a link in the show notes there. It was it's kind of a serious, you know, incident, because if anybody starts throwing something at you,
you don't know what it
in Eastern Europe, you don't know what it is. Bomber handled it with total grace. He ducked. And then once the all clear was, he actually came out and rolled right into his presentation, right. You know. Joe actually said to me, and thank God this is a podcast, because I can actually say this. He goes, anybody starts to throw eggs at me, I'm going to kick their ass. We talked about this. We actually watched the video, and then he actually started his keynote with it, hey, I'm a guy from Microsoft, but I want you to know that if you're gonna throw eggs at me, I'm coming out after you.
And I can see that with Joe too.
So you want to roll the tape?
Let's go.
Hi, this is Larry Clark, and I'm bringing you this Thirsty Developer interview from on location at the PHP Tech Conference in Chicago, Illinois. And I've ran into Joe Stagner. Joe, can you say hi to the folks?
Hi, folks. Hi, Larry.
Joe, you're with the developer division at Microsoft, uh-huh. And a lot of guys know you, as joeon.net, which is your blog.
That's right.
But why don't you tell us your official title, because it's kind of interesting.
Opinionated Misfit Geek.
Now, is that your official title, or are you really a program manager?
Well, in the global address book, I'm a senior program manager, but my public facing title for, 5 years now maybe, has been Opinionated Misfit Geek. That's what it says on my business cards. And
yeah. So speaking of misfits, what are two guys from Microsoft, an evangelist in the field, and then a senior program manager from DevDev doing at a PHP conference?
Well, that's how I got that title. Was that when I started with Microsoft about 7 years ago, I had been, I was a serial startup guy, and I had mostly consulting companies that I'd built. And, we were, as a lot of consulting companies, we went where the money was. And so we focused on expertise in scalability and performance problems and in security issues. And we didn't care whether you were a Java shop or a Perl shop, or we didn't care.
Yeah, so your expertise was like a SWAT team that would come in, diagnose, right. Troubleshoot.
Right.
And you got to be ready for, whatever platform's there when you land.
Yeah, so the hard part about that sort of business is that the number of qualified employees to hire are very small, because companies really expect deep expertise. The other downside is that you're an on-demand service organization. So you get calls, you get a call on a Tuesday night, and you're supposed to be someplace else on Wednesday morning, and you that's the nature of the business. The upside is that you can charge brutal extortion level per diem rates, because whatever you charge is less than they're losing every day. So
right, so they're calling you in for a real, specific problem, right?
Right. But because I'd had that, that exposure to all kinds of different developer technologies, and tend to be a technical pragmatist, I like the right tool for the right job, and I hope that tool is made by Microsoft, but sometimes it's not. And so when I started with Microsoft in 2001. Nobody was doing competitive stuff. Nobody was engaging competitive audiences. And I think some of it was that the field didn't have the vocabulary. My first job at Microsoft, my first year, was as a ISV advisor in the field. So and there were only two of them in the country at the time.
Right.
So, I thought, that's low-hanging fruit. I'm going to do two things that nobody else wants to do. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to engage open source and Java, so competitive communities, and I'm going to talk about developer security, because those are the two places where, we have a lot of adversarial relationships and nobody in the field wants to talk about them. So, it's great today to do be the Microsoft guy at a PHP conference and have, hundreds of people in the room. The first time that I presented at a PHP conference, there were literally three people in the room, and two of them were from IBM who were there for competitive intelligence.
Wow.
And the other guy was there to heckle the guy from Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, and that would be you, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you actually did two sessions here. One was on, running PHP on IIS and Windows.
Yes.
And that was yesterday. But I thought the more interesting session was the one today, which is actually your keynote. And you actually had a room, full of PHP developers in here.
Yeah,
tell us what your topic was.
Well, so the topic today was the changing face of open source in Microsoft, where I talked about, it was funny, in IRC this morning, somebody asked me, so the PHP community is big around using IRC.
Right.
And there's an IRC room for this conference, and I was in the room this morning, and somebody said, I'm going to come to your talk today, but please don't do some marketing talk about how Microsoft is going to love the open source community. And I find, you have to understand the audience, and different open source communities have different audiences. So,
absolutely.
So if yeah. I couldn't have done a talk like this at OzCon, for example, the open source conference put on by O'Reilly, because they're in a much less developed state in terms of getting rid of their hostility towards Microsoft. So for these guys, I approach things fairly pragmatically. That, you know, I get the open source thing. I've been a PHP developer for 10 years, but I happen to work for Microsoft in the DevTools and Platforms division, and I love the stuff that we do too. So I approach engaging that audience by, you know, being upfront and saying, yeah, Microsoft, we're a for-profit company with responsibilities to our shareholders and to our customers and to our employees, and we're not morphing the way that we engage with and consider open source for philanthropic reasons. We're doing it because the face of technology has changed in the world.
Absolutely.
And open source needs to be a part of our commercial strategy in order to maintain our leadership position in the industry.
Yeah, and even if our model is not, true open source model, the fact is that open source software exists. And I think one of the things you brought up in your talk was that, even if we're going to still be a commercial company, we're going to ship Windows, we're going to ship Office, you're not going to be able to download and compile, Office 2010 on your own. And we still need to recognize the fact that, we are a platform and the things running on top of us might be open source.
Well, so one of the things that I think is interesting, and I think Microsoft, in general, we've had many either incomplete or inaccurate perceptions. And I like to remind people that open source is a very different thing than free software.
Absolutely.
And open source and commercial software are not at all in conflict with each other. So Zend, who is the company behind PHP, and PHP is an open source, free, community, community-driven application, but Zend is the controlling entity behind it, and they are absolutely, soup to nuts, a commercial company. Their products, so they do two things for revenue. One is they provide services, which is that's the more classic open source revenue model, is that the products themselves are free, but the services you need to make them work for your environment are the premium.
Right.
So that's where a lot of Zend's revenue comes from. And the other thing is Zend has a collection of commercial closed source products. I don't think open source software and commercial software companies are at odds at all. However, there's this American adage, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. There's a collection of sort of free software foundation guys that are associated as, sometimes the lines get grayed between the free software guys and the open source guys.
Right.
It's the free software guys that say Microsoft is evil and all software should be free and we should get rid of everything to do with software patents. And I don't find PHPers, for the most part, to be that. I find PHPers to be very pragmatic. They're interested in solving their customers' problems, and that's it.
I think it's interesting that people get, I've got a blog post that I just published recently about why people love open source. And, one of the reasons that we love it is, as developers, we like to see the code.
Right.
And you can have commercial purchase software where you get the code. That could be a support agreement
Absolutely.
That you buy. The .NET framework, the actual framework-based class library is available so you can see the code.
Right. I mean, that's key to the point of, that there are many flavors of open source. So,
yeah.
For example, the .NET framework is an open source reference license. It means that, you can't download the code, make changes, and then deploy the changes because it's not economically viable for us at this point in time to support that model.
Right.
But we understand that there's a good reason for developers of certain types to need to be able to debug step into the framework code. In one of the sidebar conversations today, somebody said to me, "Well, why don't you make Windows open source?" Now, I like looking at source code as much as anybody, and I probably spend as much time fiddling with non-Microsoft development technologies as I do, working with and on our own products. But I don't have any desire to see the source code to Windows. I'm an operating system user and I program against the APIs, but I'm not going to step through the code. I don't have any desire to have the source code for Visual Studio.
Yeah, when I catch an error in the device driver for my video card,
right.
I want a new device driver. I don't want to step into it.
Right, and we're technical.
Yeah.
My dad certainly doesn't want to see a stack dump that he can, that he can decipher. I think most folks seem to get that. But what they like is that, one of the things that's been interesting about working for Scott Guthrie is that, so I work, my manager is Simon Muzio, who owns all of the developer communities for DevDiv.
But like ASP.NET, IS.NET,
Silverlight.net, Windows Client.net, and that's the most visible property. Simon also is responsible for, you know, all of the DevDiv-driven community activities worldwide. You know, it's all of our multilingual efforts, and you know, I wouldn't take his job for any amount of money.
But Simon reports to the goo, right?
So Simon reports to the goo, sits next to him, and Scott actually, he's the guy that hired me. So it was the sort of funny that Simon and I had never met or really even heard of each other until Scott walked into Simon's office one day and said, oh, by the way, I hired Joe Stagner and he's going to work for you. But I had been with Microsoft for a bunch of years, and I actually resigned. And I was basically going to go work for a dev security company, and Scott Guthrie got wind of it. I think Brian Goldfarb told him about that I was leaving, and Scott dropped me a line and asked me if I was our paths were going to cross in Las Vegas, and he said, you know, why don't we sit down and, you know, talk to me and talk to some of my senior managers, and so I did that, and you know, he called me up a few days later and said, you know, hey, I want you to come to work for me, and I said, well, okay, what will I do? And he said, well, I'm not really sure, but say yes and we'll figure it out. And but one of the really cool things about working for Scott is that Scott's really, you know, we use the term out-of-the-box thinker way too much, but he really is. So, like, I was the first employee at DevDiv, at least as far as everybody's able to tell me, that didn't join DevDiv with a commitment to move to Redmond.
Right.
And that worked, and now we've got, you know, we hired Jesse Liberty, who's in Boston, and then we hired Scott Hanselman, who's in Portland, and we hired Tim Heuer, who's in like Phoenix, I think.
Right.
You know, so one of the cool things about Scott is that, you know, he's an innovator. He's, you know, he sort of thinks out of the box. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed about one of the ways that he's morphed the way that we develop software products is that he gets transparency, and he understands that one of the ways that we can ship the best products is, where appropriate, release early, release often, and actively solicit feedback from folks that can tell us how to ship the best product for our developers, which means that, you know, we can ship good V1 products. We don't have to wait until SP2 before people start to adopt.
Right. Absolutely.
And, of course, the open sourcers love that because even though we're still a commercial software entity, you know, they get to play with the pre-alpha bits and they get to have input, and they love it. I often wonder if the PHP community in particular understands how much our exposure to them has changed the way that we do some of what we do.
Yeah, and we're actually learning, you know, from these communities as we go along. You know, the transparency is a big thing.
You know, it's funny that when I first started coming to PHP conferences, I couldn't buy somebody a beer. I mean, nobody wanted to be seen talking to the Microsoft guy. literally.
Yeah.
Because they would be, you know, branded a traitor. But over the course of time, you know, when I've sort of established myself that I'm, you know, I'm not here to, you know, I'm not here to kidnap babies and stuff, that, you know, I'm just here to talk about technology, that, you know, I've gotten to know folks, you know, that are close to core contribution in, you know, in PHP, and, you know, I just get amazing amounts of good feedback from people saying, you know, hey, I wouldn't deploy this app on Windows if Windows did this, or if I had access to this. And you can't get that kind of feedback coming from the folks that are already completely entrenched in your own technology. You know, when I talk to ASP.NET developers, I get lots of great feedback about what features they want next, or which features aren't ideally suited to the way that they use our products. You know, but a lot of the sort of real good, non-obvious stuff comes from folks that don't, you know, use our products full time.
Yeah, I think there was some great questions today about, you know, using SQL Server from platforms other than Windows. And that's not the kind of feedback you're going to get from an ASP.NET developer who's running on a Windows box getting SQL Server.
You know, one of the tough things about conversations with, you know, with developers especially, but especially, you know, open source developers that are primarily not Microsoft developers, is that, you know, as geeks, you and I have the luxury of being able to say, wouldn't it be great if, right? Wouldn't it be great if the SQL team released, you know, the new Willow driver for Linux, so that folks who are going to deploy their PHP applications on Linux could go against, you know, SQL Server databases. And you hear that people, you know, I laugh when people do that all the time. Well, it'd be great if Balmer should, or Gates should. But
I haven't done that in a good 2 hours.
Right.
You know,
but we have the luxury of, you know, of deciding what should happen based on our specific irritation. We don't have to consider, you know, the million different variables in the scheme, in the grand scheme of Microsoft's business. So you know, it's sort of, sometimes it's hard to have those conversations because, you know, the guy who, you know, the guy who you know, has to talk to Active Directory because his company uses Active Directory, but he's deploying his PHP apps on a Linux box. He doesn't care what the whole, you know, he doesn't care about all the business strategy behind what we do and don't do is. He just wants, you know, he just wants an open source driver that, you know, exposes Active Directory to his, you know, to his application.
Right. Well, just wants it to work.
Yeah. Yeah. And but one of the things that's been interesting, I think, you know, when I first started talking to folks about PHP, because I've always sort of thought, well, it's great if folks use ASP.NET. I think for, you know, for for from scratch development, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be working, you know, where I work if I didn't think we made the best technology. But I also think that, you know, if you look at an application like Drupal that is, you know, it's a PHP application that's all written with tons of plugins, you know, there are folks who are going to look at that and say, well, in 3 days I can modify this, you know, this Drupal installation to do what I want, or I can build it from scratch in .NET. You know, you sort of understand why people will make, you know, might make that decision.
Right.
It used to be that, you know, anything that was not Microsoft was, you know, was bad, was Microsoft's competition. But I think as a company we've really matured in the sense that, you know, we realize that you can't win every one of those.
Right.
And when it shouldn't be a all or nothing discussion anymore. That, you know, yeah, we'd love to win the whole stack, but if there's some reason that we're not going to win the whole stack, we can still win the server operating system, we can still win the database, and one of the ways that we do that is by not forcing people to make a choice that's all or nothing, all Microsoft or no Microsoft.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've had this conversations a lot, you know in looking at some of the technologies coming up, and my chief job as an evangelist is to demonstrate the benefit of the platform if you're running completely on it, but demonstrating interoperability if you're not.
Sure. Well, and, you know, from a products development perspective, that's part of our job is to, you know, not rely on marketing and sales professionals to win, but to build products that are better.
Yep.
Right? And, it's one of the things, like, I look at IIS 7, and, you know, I'm certainly, you know, as a guy who spends a lot of his life listening to people complain about what they think we did wrong as opposed to giving kudos for what we did right, you know, I can be very critical of our own products. And, you know, I look at the stuff that the SQL 7 guys have done, and it's brilliant. And, I love to demo, PHP or ASP.NET on SQL Server to audiences that are going to compare it to Apache. You know, not that Apache's bad, but if you just look at so much of the configuration that's available in IIS 7, it's so elegant.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the kinds of things that make you proud to work for Microsoft. You know, even when you spend a lot of your time talking to people who, you know, are maybe sort of hostile audiences.
Yeah. So can we talk about a couple of the other things that DevDiv's doing around open source?
Sure.
I think we talked a little bit about the general trend and Scott Gu is the, you know, kind of the leader behind that. But there's some specific things you pointed out, like CodePlex. And we mentioned CodePlex on the show before, but it'd be kind of good to get your perspective on it.
Well, so, I mean, I think not only is CodePlex awesome, I think a lot of folks, you know, they sort of know about CodePlex, but they haven't spent a lot of time exploring CodePlex. It's amazing some of the stuff that you can find there.
You could spend all day, every day on CodePlex and not hit a fraction of it.
Oh, it can be a total time sink. But I've found cool stuff. Like I recently found an awesome WinForms control and demo code that basically is the navigation bar in Outlook duplicated, you know.
Right on WinForms, yeah.
In WinForms, downloaded in source code form. You know, and that, you know, that's just something I stumbled across because I had a half an hour and I was just surfing CodePlex, seeing what I could find. So I also think that CodePlex, aside from the fact that it's a rapidly growing community that's offering lots of great value to developers, I think it's pivotal for Microsoft's business because, you know, we can't build everything that everybody wants, and the idea that we've got a place that, you know, that caters to folks that are developing community applications for ASP.NET or .NET technologies is awesome. It's, you know, and it's pivotal to Microsoft. And the interest that, you know, that if you look at how many new projects get added and the activity that takes place there, it, you know, it's super. Yeah.
And one of the things I like about the platform is it integrates really nice with Visual Studio. There are other, like, you know, SourceForge is out there. Google's got a code repository.
Right.
They all require, you know, Subversion or some other tool, whereas, you know, CodePlex is very friendly if you're, a .NET developer.
Yeah, but if you want to use the Team System client, you can.
Yep.
Right, so it's, but it's not a, it's not a, if you're going to do stuff here, you're going to use all of our, you're going to use all the tools we want you to use, and you're going to do things the way we want you to do things. And, I think there was some of that in the old Microsofts. But it's great to see that that's not part of who we've turned into.
Yeah. So there's CodePlex. Some of the other things is we're releasing a lot of new tools right now. Like we're coming out with the ASP.NET MVC framework, the DLR.
Yeah.
Portions of that are open source projects, right? Can you talk
Absolutely.
About that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is part of the initiative that's come under Scott Guthrie's leadership is that there are things that don't need to be closed. So certainly we have an obligation to our shareholders to protect our intellectual property where the disclosure of that intellectual property would have a negative effect on the company's value. Like that's our responsibility to our shareholders. But a lot of the things that we're doing, like MVC, which is a development model that's an alternative to web forms today, there isn't a reason that has to be a closed source project. So why not open it up? We've got collections of experts in our technology that don't work for Microsoft, like the MVPs and the ASP insiders, that are invaluable in terms of the input that they provide, because we can expose early and we can expose at the source code level, and that's the way we get to build the best possible products. So, and I love that model. I mean, that's
absolutely, because there are plenty of smart people outside of Microsoft, that can contribute to these projects, and it's really interesting. You can tell when a project, catches a buzz, because you see a lot of blog activity about it.
Right.
Even if you're not actually watching CodePlex to see number of check-ins or how active a project is, when people are talking about something, you know that it's active. You know the community's kind of adopted it and taken off with it.
Right.
One of the recent ones is the Virtual Earth IntelliSense, JavaScript libraries.
Right.
The community turned that around in like 4 days, and that was just fantastic. And I don't know if we would have been able to commit those kind of resources to get that done, and certainly not that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, so certainly we couldn't, right? And the other thing is that when the community gets behind something like that, I mean, there's a lot more value to just getting the right specs at early development time, or getting bugs fixed or features added in a very short period of time. It's also a really great business indicator in terms of what does the industry want and need, and where we should apply our resources. Microsoft, like any other company, we're a fiscally responsible company, and even though we're a company that makes a lot of money and has a cash reserve, the reason we do that that we have money is because we're not frivolous with the way that we spend it. So that sort of community contribution, in addition to the technology itself, becomes a great indicator as to where should we make investments and what's the magnitude or lack of magnitude of those investments.
So where can people learn more about open source at Microsoft?
Oh, well, so definitely CodePlex.com is a great place to see the open source projects. The various channels, Channel 9, Channel 10, Port 25 is also the Microsoft website that is particularly interesting.
Yeah.
And the thing about Port 25 is it's a completely raw and unfiltered, open source community conversation. So it's not like CodePlex, where it's folks that are doing open source, but they're doing Microsoft technology. Port 25 is basically a free-for-all where, if you go there and read, if you're a Microsoft person and you're thin-skinned, I suggest you stay away.
Don't go there, yeah.
Because it's raw and unfiltered. But that's a great place to go. And also just the ASP.NET website in terms of our web technologies, where a lot of the stuff is catalyzed there, the AJAX control toolkit.
Love the control toolkit. That's another great example of an open source project.
Yep, and the team that built that is working on a Silverlight control toolkit as well.
Really?
Yeah, so you'll see that coming up sometime in the future with the same sort of model. So, yeah, they're an interesting team. They do some really cool stuff.
Well, that's a good segue into kind of my last question is that it looks like to me, as somebody in the field, looks like DevDev's got a busy summer planned. You guys are definitely not taking the summer off. You guys are lining up a lot of things, that you're wrapping up.
So I mean, from a products perspective, we're full tilt boogie. From a on the community team, we've got We've got all sorts of stuff coming up. I know that I leave here, go home long enough to drop off some presents for my kids and apologize to my wife, and then take off and go to Tech Ed, then make another short stop at home, and then go with Brad Abrams to South Africa for the remix events there in Johannesburg and Cape Town. And I know Jesse Liberty is doing remix in Israel, and Scott Hanselman's going to Norway.
Yeah, and Tim Huer will be here in Chicago next week.
Yeah, Tim will be here in Chicago, and then so then once we all settle from that, we all have to sort of brainstorm for a bunch of years. It was just me and Simon in Scott's community team, and now we've hired these other guys. So once the travel settles down, I'm going to figure out what the FY09 concentrations are going to be. There's going to be, we're talking a lot about social networking and a social networking strategy for our dev community to take our community sites to the next level. So love to get suggestions around what people want with that. And for me, I'm talking about with Simon and Scott about maybe having some topical focuses. I think I'm going to go in FY09. I'm going to go deep on security topics.
Yeah. And by the way, for the listeners, Microsoft runs on a fiscal year, not a calendar year. So our 2009 for Microsoft starts July 1st.
Right.
So Joe's not talking about next January. He's talking about 40 days from now.
Yeah. So this is the period of time where all the budget's gone. We have no money to do anything, and we're just holding our breaths until July 1st when the new budget releases.
I slept in my car last night. I could stay at a hotel.
Right,
so
right. The DPEs, the T&E is done for the year.
It's done. Yeah.
So that's interesting to see what's going to come next. The big thing for me through the summer is to do a lot of technical enablement videos. People love the videos that I do, and my travel schedule has slowed down that schedule a little bit. So lots of digital security, digital black belt type security stuff, and we've just taken on a new guy who's going to focus on communicating around the MVC strategy.
Oh, cool!
So he started, I think, earlier this week. So yeah, it's.
So,
times.
And I think people can find most of your videos. I find most of them on ASP.net.
Yep,
you've got
ASP.
A bunch of how-to videos there.
ASP.net, WAC Learn. And I also, people that subscribe to my blog, I usually do announcements when my new videos drop. So.
And that's joeon.net?
Joeon.net. But you tell me. I'm thinking about, I own the domain name Misfit Geek, and people are telling me that I should switch my blog to misfitgeek.com.
Well, I got to tell you this. I think you were one of the first guys that I recognized that had the, taking advantage of the .net high-level domain, but it's kind of played out now. Everybody has done the something .net, like,
right.
Up in Milwaukee, we had a community event called Deeper in .net, and they did Deeper in .net was their URL. So it might be time to, blaze the next trail. So, and I'm sure you'll keep joeon.net, around, resolving. Would you be willing to share your email address with the listeners? We won't
sure.
put it in the blog. You probably get enough spam as it is.
I get 1,000 email a day, and that's great. That's that's what I do. Is talk to developers. So yeah, my email address is joe.stagner, S-T-A-G-N-E-R at microsoft.com. And for folks that that forget that, you can just go to my blog, joeon.net, or if you can't remember that or you mess up the spelling, just msjoe.com will point you in the right direction and use the contact form away. On my blog.
There's a lot of ways to get to you, huh?
Oh yeah. When you work in community, public accessibility is.
You shouldn't be hard to find. Yeah.
That's right.
So I want to thank you for being on the Thirsty Developer. Thanks for taking time out from the conference.
Larry, my pleasure. Thanks.
So you had a Joe Stagner story, before the interview, right? And so I got one to follow up. It doesn't surprise me that Joe would say that if somebody threw eggs at him and he would actually come out and. Kick your ass, right?
Yeah.
So before I get into that story, let me tell you this story about Joe Stagner. So a few years ago, I was actually interviewing for one of the teams at Microsoft. And yes, I actually went through quite a few interview loops at Microsoft before I landed my role as developer evangelist. And so Joe was actually one of my interviewers. He was interviewing me for the position. And I remember Joe just comes into the room and just kind of sits down and kind of gives me this gaze. And if you don't know who Joe is, he can be kind of an intense individual sometimes.
He can be intimidating.
Yeah, very intimidating. Just not because he's trying to be, just by the way his look, his gaze he gives you. So he's interviewing me, and then I have to actually give a presentation in front of a group, kind of thing.
And that's pretty common when you're Microsoft. Yeah. You know, one of the things they do in the interview loop is they'll have you give a 15-minute presentation.
Yeah, that's part of your role. Yep. Yeah. So you give like a presentation from the group, and their job is it's kind of strange. This was kind of my first role playing experience, and not really role playing, but they're kind of like trying to put you on the spot or trying to see how you handle certain situations, which is pretty typical. And Joe was playing the part of the Linux zealot. Right, because actually Joe comes from sort of that Linux background, and he's shouting. I'm trying to give this presentation. He's shouting at me. He's like, Microsoft this, Microsoft that, and he's like, Linux rules. I'm just like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to handle this? And so as it turns out, I find out later after I get to know Joe. Joe's a great guy. He's very fun to hang around with. He's got lots of great stories. But as it turns out, Joe used to be involved with Ultimate Fighting. You know, I don't know if he – I think he actually fought himself. So that kind of gives you the sense that, yes, he actually would come out in the audience and kick your ass if you threw an egg at him.
Yeah, that's back to the whole physically intimidating thing.
Exactly. So I actually think he also trained and actually probably managed some fighters as well. So he's really big into Ultimate Fighting. So if you're ever hanging around Joe, he's a good guy to be on your side. But don't piss him off.
Yeah, don't cross him.
But no, Joe's a great guy. He's a very smart guy. He does a lot of the where you might know Joe from is if you go to the ASP.NET website. He does a lot of the how do I screencast for ASP.NET. So Joe, he works on that team. He does a lot of great stuff around the AJAX screencast and ASP.NET screencast. So that's a great resource if you're looking for some of that information.
Yeah, and I think it was the last episode that was our blog you should know, or a couple episodes ago was right. the how do I screencast down on the ASP.NET site. You know,
all right.
Which is a great segue.
I was going to say, Mr. Segway here. You're getting this down pat, aren't you, Larry?
Oh, I am. I was practicing that one all night last night.
So actually, leads me into my blog you should know, just by you talking about those screencasts. Because this week, my blog you should know is actually Rob Connery. And Rob Connery's blog – so Rob Connery is actually – he's from the Subsonic fame, and he's the one who kind of – he started the Subsonic project. He also was one of the lead architects of the e-commerce like sample application back in the day, if you remember that. But he has a blog at blog.now. I don't know how to really pronounce this, but I'll run with it. It's blog.wekiroad.com, WEKEROAD.com, Wekiroad, blog.wekiroad.com. And he actually, what he's doing, so I'm trying to learn all this ASP.NET MVC stuff myself, right? We got to, we're building some enhancements to the .NET 3.5 framework with the first service release and the extensions and the enhancements that they're building. And part of that is the ASP.NET MVC framework that they're building. And so I'm trying to come up to speed, learn all this stuff. And Rob actually has on his blog where he's actually building a sample application called the Storefront application, where he's leading you kind of through the process of building this application with ASP.NET MVC. And so anyways, what he has is different screencasts and different blog posts about building this application. And now I just found out today that actually those screencasts that he's done on his blog are now all as part of the ASP.NET website as well. But definitely go check out his blog at blogs.wekiroad.com. And one thing more about Rob that I found out is interesting is that he works for Microsoft on the ASP.NET team. However, he lives in Hawaii. So he's working from Hawaii for Microsoft.
How do you get that gig?
I don't know, man, but I got to figure something out here.
You know, because I live in Wisconsin, and it's absolutely beautiful here today. You know, it's like 80 degrees, nice green grass and all that. But
we just have to duck tornadoes, that's all.
And the 10 months out of the year where it's snowing.
That's right. Yep. But, so definitely check out Rob Connery's blog. He's got a lot of great information if you're looking for some ASP.NET MVC stuff.
So, Dave, I'm an architect evangelist, so of course I focus on architecture quite a bit, yes.
Wow, okay.
And and my blog, you should know, is actually arcast.tv, and that's arcast.tv. Mm-hmm. And Arcast has been around for a few years, but they've been on a bit of a hiatus. The personality behind Arcast was Ron Jacobs, and he actually became a technical evangelist for the WCF-WF team late last fall, early winter. So the show was kind of on hiatus. They brought it back as a, community-driven contribution. So architect evangelists like myself all over the United States and all over the world are recording the shows and now, producing it through that channel. And they've just relaunched a tech ed developer a few weeks ago, and they've actually got two shows out there. And Denny Boynton, who is our pal down in St. Louis, also an architect evangelist, and hopefully he's a listener of the show. His episode, you know, just got posted today. So I thought it was you know, very timely that we should point everybody to artcast.tv. It's a little different. It's available as a podcast that you can download, you know, to your Zune or your iPod. But it's also available as a video cast, you know, so you can either watch it on your computer or, again, download it to your device and watch it on the go.
Right. So, I mean, that's something that I think was, you know, started, you know, a year or two ago, where we started really focusing not only just on developers and trying to get the word out to developers on what Microsoft is doing around our development tools and technologies, but also start more focusing on how to reach out to the architects, because it's a different audience, and those are different types of conversations to have. So Artcast, you know, is a great way to sort of reach out to that larger audience.
Yep.
So great. So I guess we'll wrap up this week's show.
Yep. It's gonna be a good one.
Yep. So you know, as always, Larry, you know, they can get a hold of us at you know, myself at DaveBoss.com, yourself at
LarryClarkin.com.
That's right. And where else can they reach us?
They can reach us on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn.
That's right. So with that, we'll see you guys next week. Take care.
We're rolling.
All right.